You're listening to Dots, Lines, and Destinations, a travel podcast with hosts Stephen Seagraves, Fosma Moon, and Seth Miller.
Hello, and welcome to episode 594 Dots, Lines, and Destinations. I'm Stephen Seagraves, joined by Mr. Fosma Moon today.
Good evening.
Seth is celebrating his anniversary.
Oh, good for him.
By going to the same baseball stadium that he and I went to just a few days ago.
Were you celebrating his anniversary with him the other day?
No, we were just talking about planes and other stuff.
Well, how was Manchester?
It's an interesting place, man. New Hampshire is a vibe.
Oh yeah, but how's the airport?
The airport's great. It's a great little airport. Enjoyed it thoroughly.
Good alternative to Logan.
Oh yeah, and the drive was much easier. I didn't take 3 down.
Okay,
which I guess is the toll road. I took 495.
Well, 3 you have to take from, I guess it depends on where you are. 3 is only a toll road north of the airport.
Okay.
I think, not south of the airport, if I remember correctly.
Okay. Yeah, it wasn't bad. I mean, it's a great little airport. Avis stayed open for me. We'll talk about that in the bonus topics about AA and my experience. But yeah, it's good. How you doing?
Great.
Great.
No complaints.
No travels recently?
No. Tomorrow.
Where are you going tomorrow?
Vegas.
Oh, you got to check into the hotel, don't you?
Well, that and go see Ed, potentially.
You're going to go see Ed?
Yeah.
You'll probably have Starlink on your flight then.
And our other friend, or acquaintance, if you will.
What?
Someone who lives there.
Why do you keep going to Vegas?
To Rio.
All right. Some news, some Delta news. So the Trainer facility, which is a refinery near Philadelphia...
the only refinery they own.
It's the only refinery that they own. It's the only airline-owned refinery that I know of. Had a fire. I think it's out now. Hasn't really been talked about much, but it's out now. But they had a pretty large fire going.
Yeah, I was driving by it. That's why I texted you, because I was driving by. I'm like, that black smoke is not supposed to be there.
Black smoke at a refinery. Usually not good.
Well, the thing is, there's like 2 or 3 refineries right next to each other in that area.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I thought that it was the Trainer one, and my gut was right.
Yeah. And it's the one that's owned by Monroe Energy, which is a subsidiary of Delta. And it's mostly jet fuel and some other transportation fuels, but it's mostly jet fuel. And it was one of the cracker units. So it sounds like maybe the cracker unit had an outage, and then when they brought it back online, it caught fire. So we'll see what happens.
Will this be what causes Delta to get out of the refinery business?
I don't know. I feel like this is actually during this time, like where we're at with gas prices and fuel supply, being able to produce your own jet fuel is actually quite nice, even if it does catch fire every now and then.
But you still need the oil to bake the jet fuel.
Yeah, but you can get the oil.
True.
Some of the oil comes from Dammam, but a lot of it comes from other parts and other places around the world.
Doesn't that refinery need heavy crude, though?
Which one?
Like the sands, the Trainer one? I thought they converted to use the sands oil.
Oh, yeah. So then, they can definitely take sand. If they can take tar sands, then, yeah, they're good. They have to pay a little bit more, but...
Train it down from Alberta.
Yeah, no big deal. Yeah. Well, just...
The question is, how will this impact Delta's operation at JFK and LaGuardia? Right. There is an outage. The whole reason they bought this refinery allegedly was to reduce their cost burden at their New York presence.
Yeah. None of the articles I see say anything about a shutdown of the whole facility. So if it's one cracking unit, that's probably a quarter of the capacity. So they'll have a slowdown, not a shutdown. So maybe they'll see less fuel, or they'll have to bring some fuel in at JFK.
Yeah, right. Or I don't think it ever produced enough fuel for all of their flights.
But a lot of it.
But some substantial amount. So they're going to have to go to the street to buy fuel. So I wonder how that impacts.
I think that probably hurts a little bit. And then in kind of strange news, Delta is going to start LA Newark.
On a domestic configured 321.
And to be clear, the only reason they're doing this on the 321 is because on the domestic 321 is because they don't have the lie-flat seats configured, right?
I don't think that's necessarily the case, because you They're not flying the 44-seat one.
Oh, okay.
They're flying a regular domestic 321. So it means it will not have premium economy.
Interesting.
So the question then becomes, like, and twice a day, like, Ed and I were going back and forth on this, and Ed thinks it's going to be a big – it's going to be an impact on United. I'm like, this is ankle-biting to United.
Yeah, I mean, what's the point, right, of flying? Is this simply to pick up traffic for some of their long-haul stuff out of L.A.?
So Delta, a few weeks ago, someone from Delta was quoted as saying they have a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to build a hub at LAX. And so they're going to try to really, like, be dominant there. I think they're going to end up giving up just like the last time, the last two or three times they've tried building a hub at LAX. Right, no one owns LAX. That's the reality of it. I don't think any one airline will be able to own LAX.
Okay,
time will tell. But a whopping two flights a day with a domestic configured plane, I don't really see an impact on the market. It's, if anything, it'll just fill in some of the void that JetBlue is leaving. But the irony is, I started looking at pricing. They're pricing like United, but their offering is like Alaska.
Yeah, I mean, you can't do that on a transcon. Like, you can't like United's coastliner pricing is $2,000 ish round trip in J. If you're doing that for a domestic seat, no one's going to pay that. They're going to go to United.
Yeah, well, now, and now on both ends, you get Polaris access.
Yeah, so if you're going to fly that flight and then you're going to do it on domestic F, you should be charging, I don't know, $500.
Yeah. So I looked at in April when a couple of weeks after Delta launches these flights, United and Delta were around 1400 one way. Alaska was at 700.
So half price.
Half price.
And Alaska will fill those seats.
It will. It will. Because they're pricing it appropriately.
Yeah. Do you think eventually Delta brings in fly flat seats here? Like, do you think they could throw a 7.6 on it?
I think they'll try. No, I don't think they'd throw a 7.6. Their 7.6s are leaving slowly. Right. And they just need them for the international.
Yeah.
Turns. Like, the reason JFK LA gets all these 7.6s is because they go from JFK beyond to Europe. They would have to dedicate a bird to do LA Newark at that point, or do ferry flights from Newark to JFK.
Yeah. Cause I don't think they could do like maybe they could do like an A350 or something, but that's really like, maybe you could do the morning flight out of Newark to LA to catch the Sydney departure that they have.
Well, it would be the evening flight, not the morning.
Oh, okay.
But nonetheless, the problem is two flights a day doesn't give you many options.
Mm-hmm.
Right, when United has a flight almost hourly.
Yep.
Right, and the United offering is wide body. United will also have Starlink. Right, these are all, and United has a dominant position at Newark.
I mean, I come back to my previous point, which is, you think they're doing this just to get the feed for LA? And they're like, hey, all we need is two flights a day, and it'll take enough away from United and their connection operation at LA for us to do better.
But the feed, like, don't care.
Feed to Sydney, what else? All of Asia, like their Shanghai flight.
Okay, so let's think about this. Sydney, starting in April, is low season.
Okay.
Doesn't make sense.
What about Haneda? What about the new flight to Manila, like the rumored flight to Manila, and the flight that they're rumored to go to Singapore? And
All definitely impossible, right? Okay. But the problem is Delta doesn't really have a catchment of customers in New Jersey.
Gotcha.
Right, that's the fundamental. Like, United has the people flying LA Newark are generally at either end are United flyers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right. So they and LA United has had market dominance in LA for a long time.
Yeah.
Right. Not just LA, but Southern California, because it's not just LA, right? It's the LA basin and beyond.
I mean, so how do you think United responds to this? Does nothing?
I don't think United needs to do anything.
Yeah.
Right, that's the reality, and I think Alaska is the one most at risk.
They should bump up their transcon service out of Seattle.
But to your other question, right, like about lie flats, look at Seattle JFK. Delta can't commit lie flats to that route. And that's, in theory, a hub-to-hub route.
Yeah.
Right? Why would they do it here?
Yeah. Fair enough. That's a good point. That's a good point. Other story, Bastian, the CEO of Delta, he was on Fox Business, and he said, here's what he said for pricing and why prices haven't fallen. People ask me all the time, what's happening with prices? Bastian told Fox Business Maria Bartiromo, I can never pronounce her name, in an exclusive interview in Tuesday. Prices will come down when we can fly more. When there's more supply, it's a supply and demand. Right now, we're kind of log jammed. There's a lot of supply we can bring in because because the air traffic control system is congested. As you open up the skies and you bring in more flow, that's going to help bring pricing down, enable us to bring more people to more places. Sure. I have a lot of comments.
As do I.
So one, ATC is not the logjam. Like at some point you reach capacity and you're just not able to fit the planes at the airport. Like it's finite space.
Correct.
If you had infinite supply, you would run out of space.
Correct.
So prices will never do what he's saying. The other thing I want to say is they don't have the planes. Like even if they wanted to do what we just talked about, LA Newark, they don't have the planes to do more. So it's not an ATC. It seems like he's kind of like grasping at straws to try and get the government to do something to help him out, but that's not the problem.
That's exactly what he's doing. He's trying to get the public to turn on the government.
Yeah.
Right.
Say, we need no air traffic control. Like, remove the slot controls at JFK.
Right. And it's just going to make the problem much, much worse at JFK. The reality is, and what all the airlines fail to do, is you can add capacity by upgauging.
Yeah.
But nobody wants to do that.
Because it costs money.
It costs money. But it'll not just that it costs money, it will drive down prices. That's the bigger driver, right?
Yeah, it's okay. They're perfectly fine with high prices.
Yeah. Like it works to their advantage. So it's a BS excuse that people unfortunately will buy and not really dig into.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. I did not like his comments. He really thinks people are stupid. I feel like.
But people are stupid.
That's true. So,
as someone recently said to me, a person is smart, people are stupid.
Lastly, about Delta, they are opening a second Delta One lounge at LAX.
Allegedly, it's coming soon.
Where's this going?
I don't know. I mean, they have two terminals, right? They have two and three now.
Yeah, I guess they have one. If they have one in each, it's no big deal.
I guess. I mean,
are both connected to immigration?
I think so, but I don't know. Right. I don't fly Delta, so I actually wouldn't really know. And I haven't been to that side of LAX in God knows how long.
I think three is. I flew through there. I feel like it is, but I can't remember if two is.
Maybe. I think there's a connector now, but that would be like a long walk.
A very long walk.
Yeah. To go from, but two might have had immigration before because international airlines did fly out of there.
That's true.
Because everything but one, I think, had immigration at some point, one and eight.
That's right. I think you might be right. I'm like looking here. I don't see anything like notated on the terminal map, but I think you might be right. Because I know like all the wide body stuff leaves out of three or has historically left out of three.
Okay. So, and allegedly, Atlanta will finally get a lounge in 2029.
Which is wild to me that your premier hub doesn't have a Delta One lounge.
But there's no competition. Why invest?
Why invest in Newark? Why did United build a
Because you have to compete with JFK.
Yeah.
Right. And United has a different approach than Delta. Delta, as much traffic as they shove through Atlanta, does not get a lot of love.
Yeah.
Right from a facility standpoint. But that's because they have 90%+ of the market share there.
Yeah. Okay. Right? Then why build a Polaris lounge at O'Hare?
Why was it so small for so long?
Why build one at Intercontinental?
because United took a different approach. Like, look at how far behind the premium lounge game Delta is.
Yeah.
They are, right? They are very far behind. United led with that. United and American led with that, right? Delta's years behind on that. They're trying to play catch up.
Yeah.
All right. And so if you're a Delta, are you going to invest in the lounge where it might be a market differentiator versus where it's not going to matter?
True. I also wonder if they struggle with where to put it in Atlanta because their flights leave from everywhere.
And like, yeah, but the international ones are generally E and F.
True. Yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah. Do Sky Clubs still have showers?
I have no idea.
Maybe we should start flying Delta more. Market research.
Oh, gods, no. Don't torture me like that.
Why?
As a whole, I don't view Delta as a safe airline. We can get into that another day.
Okay.
But like, I just...
Safe like as like a safety like bet?
Yeah. Like the most startling thing was a couple of years ago, there was, I think, a Prague to JFK flight. They lost control of the plane somewhere over Northeast Canada, figured out something was freezing, and rather than diverting, they kept flying to JFK.
Well, yeah, that's where you can service your jet.
Yeah, but if you lose control and you suddenly get control, get down on the ground as quickly as possible.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. all right. Air Canada. There's a rumor that Air Canada is not going to return to JFK from Toronto and Montreal.
That is true.
This is kind of sad. I mean, they didn't fly a ton of flights from Montreal and Toronto to JFK, right?
No. And the reason they flew it was all connecting traffic. It wasn't O&D.
To the European carriers and stuff to go to Europe.
No, actually the other way around. For people would go search for JFK, like thinking that's a synonymous New York airport, and they would never see anything from Air Canada as an option.
Gotcha.
Or if you book as an example, you're coming from somewhere in Europe to JFK, you book a itinerary on Brussels, it wouldn't show up on the way back.
Gotcha.
So that it was really about connecting flow. It wasn't about O&D.
So they do these flights. I mean, they still have the LaGuardia flights, which they fly like once an hour or maybe a little bit less than that, but very frequently. And then they fly Newark.
And they also fly LaGuardia to Billy Bishop.
Oh, that's right. On their Q400s. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you think they'll just sell, like if you search for JFK, they'll show you results for all the other airports?
If you do NYC, you'll see the other airports. I don't know if you'll see it for JFK.
Yeah. There's not going to be an option then to get to JFK.
No, but, and the other thing is like, that only makes sense when you're booking through them. What if you're booking through like Lufty or Brussels or Swiss?
Yeah.
Right. Or go to the other side, ANA.
Which Swiss and Lufthansa both fly to JFK and Newark. So It's not that big of a change for people. So interesting. Who do you think gets the slots at JFK then?
I don't know if it's like Heathrow, but Air Canada, like United, could buy them through a private agreement.
Yeah. Where did Air Canada operate out of?
I want to say four, but I'm not sure.
Get on that Cirium.
I don't have
Cirium. I don't know. I don't think United wants to operate out of four, do you?
No, they were out of seven.
Which is gone now?
Is it gone yet?
Is it not? That's what I'm confused about. Like, I don't know.
Think it's gone yet. I think two's gone. I think the east end of the airport is going to get dealt with first, or the south end, depending on how you look at it.
Okay.
Where 1, 2, and 3 are, I think that's going to be done first.
ANA, Aer Lingus, Condor, Frontier, Iceland Air, Kuwait Airways, and Norse all use 7 still. So
there you go. And Frontier.
It's scheduled to close in 2027.
Okay. So they got another year. And by then, 6 is supposed to be open, I think.
Yes. Its closure and demolition will coincide with T6 finishing. So, I mean, I guess that's where United used to fly out of. It would actually work.
Yeah. But wait, is Alaska not out of there now?
No, they're out of the T8.
Oh, so United can get its own lounge space back.
There you go. What's old is new again.
Exactly. Spent a lot of time in that lounge.
So what would they do? Yeah, delayed. So what would they do?
Lots of delays in that lounge.
Delayed every day. Would they do like once a day between JFK and San Francisco and LA again?
I think it'd be at least twice because I think AC was running 4 flights a day.
Okay. So it'd be like the old days. It'd be like right when those flights ended at 2022-ish United's flights. So it'd be like 2022 all over again.
Could you imagine?
This would be super interesting.
Wild.
I wonder if they would consider it coastliner service.
I mean, I think they would have to.
Yeah.
I think they would.
And sit with a 7-6 again?
Oh.
What they would do is they put a 321 with non-premium seats, and that's how they would fly it, just to stick it to Delta.
No, I don't see them doing that. I don't see them doing that. Candidly, I wouldn't be surprised if they ran a wide body if it's only a couple flights a day.
Like a 777?
Or a 7-8.
Yeah.
Because that'd be better than any product Delta has.
Yeah. Good point. London City is getting a lounge.
Yes, it is.
I don't know if we should be excited about this.
I'm a little concerned because the whole thing of London City is you show up just in time for your flight.
Exactly.
A lounge, and like, so now if there's a lounge, are you encouraging people to come sooner? Which the building does not have space to have more people in it.
Yeah, it's kind of like you clear security and you're sitting in a giant lounge. Yeah. Like the whole airport is a lounge.
Yeah, so I don't understand.
And this is going to be a part of Aspire lounges, so it will be a Priority Pass lounge. Yeah.
And I just checked. Air Canada had 3 flights to JFK.
Okay.
Or three sets of slots. So 2 to Toronto, 1 to Montreal. So it's maybe 2 to San Francisco, 1 to LA to start.
Yeah, there you go. So I don't know. I'm kind of with you. Like, part of London City is the beauty of it is showing up just before your flight and just getting on the plane and going. And all the flights within that are from London City are like 2 hours in length at max. Like,
unless they're going to bring back London City Shannon to JFK,
that would be amazing. I would take that flight since I haven't been able to do it. I was going to do it and then I had to cancel.
Do you think a 752 could take off that runway?
Oh yeah. Half loaded? Absolutely. Like all business config? Absolutely. Who's got a 752 to do that though? United?
United.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing about the Rolls Royce ones, right? They're way more powerful than the Pratt & Whitney ones.
I think the problem will be landing. It is a very short runway with a very, very steep approach. I don't think you can get the 752 slow enough to do it. I don't think you can configure it. I'll try it in the flight simulator. I'll give it a shot.
Give it a shot.
See how it goes.
I mean, didn't someone start flying a 320 into there recently?
No, they don't allow 320s. Remember, there's noise restrictions.
I thought someone flew a 320 in there recently.
I think the 318 is the biggest you can fly. Let me see. London City. Now I got to look this up. Sorry, we're doing this on the fly. Guests, our audience. Let's see, restrictions. A220, up to the size of an A220 or an E2 are permitted.
So they've submitted an application for A320s.
Who?
The London City Airport is actively seeking.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah, yeah, I remember that. It's just the approach is very steep.
But they're actually requesting a shallower landing and approach angle too.
Yeah, because they're going to lengthen the runway, I think, is part of it. Or they want to lengthen the runway.
So there you go.
There you go. United could start it. United could start it on a. I wonder if the 320 includes the 321s. But I think the 321 would have a harder time getting up there.
321 doesn't have enough power.
Yeah. So they what do they do? Reconfigure a 752 with all business class and premium economy?
The old PS config.
There you go. There you go. I like this. I like the way you think. All right. What else we got? Oh, yeah. There was a 777. So it's in Qatar Cargo livery, but it is not owned by Qatar Cargo. It is going to be owned by Qatar Cargo. It is actually owned by a company called Jetran limited liability. And it was being converted to a freighter by Mammoth Freighters. So it was originally a Delta 77200LR and was being converted into a freighter four cutter. And as part of its like delivery back down to one of the facilities, it did a low pass over Horseshoe Bay Resort on the 24th of June. So this thing was, it was super low.
Like, oh, I think it was seconds from disaster.
And the pilot banked and then pulled up. And it was, I mean, you're talking one of the wingtips was probably 3 to 4 feet off the ground.
So it's a fascinating video if you haven't seen it yet.
Yes. Everyone thought it was fake at first because it's so low. And then someone, they pulled up the data and it is real. It's a very real flight. Qatar was not happy about this. They put out a press release around it. It was not our airplane. It was not under the operation of a Qatar pilot. I think someone got yelled at for this, doing this.
Well, and you know it was staged because the video is clearly someone on the ground expecting it and also someone else filming it as though they're expecting it to happen.
Yes. Oh, yeah, totally. And so I think Qatar's, it's one of these things of like, you know, airlines, even after accidents, didn't want like their tail livery shown on the news. So they would cover it typically with a tarp. This looks really bad. Like this looks, I would say derelict or dangerous, or I don't know the word to use. It looks irresponsible by Qatar, and that's probably why they are so upset about it.
So the question is, will they now take delivery of this?
I think they will. They've paid for it, so why not?
I don't think they've paid for it yet.
You don't think so? You don't think they put a down payment on and paid for the conversion?
I doubt they have fully paid for it.
Okay. I think they still take it, though. I mean, they need the planes.
Yeah, all right. But I mean, it gives them negotiating power, right?
Yeah, chop off a million.
And God knows if there's others that are being converted right now, and that just works to their favor in that regards as well.
Yeah, yeah. Mammoth Freighters put out a statement as well, and Jetran. Jetran's is interesting. We are aware of a video circulating on social media showing a freighter conducting a low pass flight in a manner that does not reflect operational standards. While the aircraft is painted in Qatar Airways livery, it was not owned or operated by Qatar Airways, did not carry a Qatar Airways registration, and the pilots on board were not Qatar Airways pilots. The aircraft was undergoing a final pre-delivery test flight prior to its planned entry into the Qatar Airways cargo fleet. We expect the relevant parties and authorities to investigate this matter thoroughly and take appropriate action. Why aren't you investigating it? It's your pilots.
They probably are, but if they said that, then they would be admitting that they're responsible.
Yeah, exactly. So very, very interesting. Anything else you want to talk about?
I think we've rambled enough.
I'll just remind folks the Points Travel Festival Pacific Northwest, which is in Portland, is coming July 31st through August 1st this year. So you can look for links to that and be on the lookout. Yeah. And then in the bonus topic for our Patreon supporters, we're going to talk about the Alaska website just not working, period. End of story. I mean, that's the whole story. So get a little.
we just covered the entire story right there.
Yeah. And then I want to talk a little bit about American. We spent a lot of time on Delta and United today, but I want to talk a little bit about American and my trips that I had to Manchester. And then we're going to talk about the crash in Beijing. So stick around for that if you're a Patreon supporter. If not, thanks for listening. And we will talk to you next time. Happy travels.
Take care.